forgot one, Rick. You know that? You got to tell your preacher sometimes, too.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes preachers have to be reminded that it's Jesus that's king, not the preacher. Sometimes we have to tell the deacons that, too.
Amen.
Because if we don't tell the deacons that, they become Dickens. Sometimes we have to tell those seminary professors that, too, because if we don't, it becomes cemeteries. I know a lot of people that have gone into seminary and come out dead. Amen. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. You ought to come out alive.
Amen.
They ought to come out believing God's word. They ought to come out knowing that what is written for a reason.
Amen.
It's written because God loves you.
Amen.
It's written because God loves you and God loves me and God wants you whole.
Amen.
Now, I don't pay attention to days. Days go by me and I don't pay attention. Half the time, I don't know if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, whatever. But somebody mentioned to me today that this is the 4th of July. Is that right?
Yep.
All right. If this is the 4th of July and you're here, you love God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to give an altar call for salvation tonight. Because if you didn't love God, you'd be out there drinking or having a party or out there at the river or the lake or the pond or the swimming pool or doing something. You wouldn't be coming here. You'd be eating hot dogs instead of gospel food.
Amen.
Amen. But since this is the 4th of July, and the 4th of July is supposed to be Independence Day, amen?
Amen.
Let's declare independence from sickness, disease, poverty,
amen.
Anxiety,
amen.
Demon possession and oppression,
amen.
And anything else that Satan would throw. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, God is a loving God.
Amen.
He is a God of love and of power and of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to. Of course, how can I say I wasn't going to do it? Because I didn't know what I was going to do anyway. But I was thinking about this the other day. I said, no, this would be too harsh for him. But I'm going to read it anyway. In fact, I'm going to have you read it, Rick. Read James chapter 1, verse 3, or maybe 4. We'll find out when you get there. Now, the other night we covered something in James, and while he's looking for that, let me share this with you. James wrote a thing, and I noticed some new faces here. You probably didn't hear this the other night, so I want you to hear this. James wrote a thing, and it seems that most people don't get the hang of it. They don't understand it. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Amen.
Amen? Isn't that what it says? And most preachers will go out there and say, well, what that means is that when you're tempted and you overcome it, be joyful. No, it doesn't mean that. It means when you fall. It means exactly what it says.
Amen.
When you fall into the mud puddle, don't lay in the mud puddle and cry. Count it all joy. Why? Why in the world would I want to be happy about falling? Because knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Amen.
You see, if I am tempted and I don't fall, then I don't need faith in what Jesus did. My faith isn't supposed to be in me. It's not supposed to be in how good I am. I said it the other night. If you come here looking for a great preacher, you might as well go home. If you come here looking for a good minister, forget it. If you're looking, you come in here looking for what the world calls a holy man, you're not going to find it in me. I'm a sinner. And anybody that says he's not a sinner is deceived or liar or both. There's only one that was without sin, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if I was without sin, I wouldn't need him. I was talking to a preacher in Texas. Where was that in Texas, Dan? Where are you? We were in Texas. Where was that preacher? Merkel? In Merkel, Texas. And he was an Assembly of God preacher. Good man. I mean, you know, he was a nice man. He was sincere. He loved the Lord. We're sitting there in his living room or his dining room, and he's telling me how he's without sin. He said, I'm sanctified. I'm without sin. I said, sir, I'm glad to meet you. I've never met a man without sin before besides Jesus. That means you're never going to die, right? And his wife started chuckling because she knew where I was going. She was smarter than he was. She knew exactly where I was going. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you don't have sin, you're not going to die. Amen? I don't think anybody here is going to live forever in this body. God, I hope I don't. I look myself in the mirror and scare myself. I know what Paul's talking about when he talks about the man who looks himself in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. See, you don't know what I looked like when I was my son's age or younger. I was a good-looking kid. I only weighed about 100 and, let's see, when I was in high school, I weighed about 135 pounds. Can you imagine that? And I had hair. And some people said I was cute. My mother said I was pretty, but you know how mothers are. I've seen some babies mothers have called cute, and I just... In fact, I remember when Steve's sister had a baby. My cousin's wife, his niece, she had this baby, and I walked in, and she said, let me show you my baby. I looked at that, and I said, oh, you poor baby. So I don't believe in lying. I don't. Have you ever told a lie? Anybody here ever told a lie? Come on, be honest with me. You know you have, and I know I have. Amen?
Amen.
Did you ever get caught?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't fun, was it? Oh, it's embarrassing. And you try to find a way to wiggle out from under it, you know? It's like these night crawlers up here, you know? You go out and shine that light, and they start wiggling. You tell a lie, man, the light of the Lord hits it, and you wiggle. And, you know, I just realized one day that if I didn't want to be embarrassed that way, all I had to do is stop lying. Isn't that easy? Just tell the truth. Now, you might get other things happen to you, like sock upside the head or slap or something. Like the lady comes into the church with purple hair. I just got my hair done. What do you think? I'm going to tell her. So, hon, I would pray to God that when you go home and get your head under the shower, that'll come out. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't be that way. Well, why not? Why not? If I went and put one of them stupid earrings in my eyebrow and walked around with a ring in my nose, and I said, what do you think of my new brow ring? And you say, oh, Richard, that looks good. On you, it's great, man. Like that woman come up to dress one day. Richard, what do you think of my dress? Oh, it looks great. But you don't do anything for it. Hey, women are funny. You know that? I love them. I do. I married one.
Yep.
I'm not from Vermont. Oh, Lord, forgive me on that one. See, I told you I was a sinner. But anyway, women are funny. You know, they'll come up to you. You think these jeans look fat on me? Jeans look fine. I think you need a smaller pair, though. But, you know, we're laughing and we're having fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. Did you know there's nothing wrong with having a little fun in the Lord and be honest and truthful? The truth of the matter is God wants us to have fun, and he wants us to love one another, but he wants us to be truthful. He wants us to be truthful. So I'm going to be truthful as much as I can with you. And when James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, he's saying that, look, you're not perfect. And God loves you so much, that when you begin to think you're perfect, see, if you belong to him, if you, well, we're not talking about some religious freak out here who doesn't even know God. We're talking to those about those people who know God and love God, and God loves them. When you get to that place where you start believing you're perfect because of your works, because of what you do and what you don't do, because of God's love, he has to pull the rug out from under you. And instead of lying there and crying and saying, woe is me, boo-hoo, which means your self-esteem just got lopped off, and that needs to be done anyway.
Amen.
Right? Then get up and praise God and exercise your faith for the work that Jesus Christ did to save you.
Amen.
And save me. Amen? And it's through that exercising of the faith that you are perfected. Because God's goal for you and for me is so that we can walk in him without falling down all the time. But knowing when we don't fall down, it's because of him and his grace. Amen? Now, I want to show you something. I've said this before to people. I've had people just get up and walk out when I say this. So put your seatbelts on because I don't want you to leave. There's some good stuff going to happen here tonight. I know it. It is taught by some churches that when you die, if you're a Christian and you die, you go to heaven, and any imperfection in you is automatically taken care of. And when you go to heaven, you're going to be perfect. Anybody ever heard that? You're going to be perfect. God showed me a thing. God took me back through his word and showed me that the only thing that's going to be perfect is the body. He is going to give me a new perfected body.
Amen.
See, Jesus didn't die for your body. He didn't die for your body because the body's under the curse.
Amen.
Anybody ever wonder why God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice? People say, well, God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice because he offered the vegetables. Yes, so what? What was it about the vegetables, Ricky Baldwin?
They came from the earth which was cursed.
They came from the earth which was cursed. So if Cain offered to God a thing that was cursed, God couldn't accept it, could he?
No.
Where'd this body come from?
The earth.
The earth. And it was cursed right along with the fruit and the vegetables. And the pomegranates. And I don't blame him for cursing the eggplant.
Amen.
Should have cursed that thing.
Amen.
And especially okra.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, double curse okra. Well, I know, Terry, you're weird, but from Alabama, what can I say, you know? That old slimy stuff. That's what they say. I've had some, but I probably have never had it fried right. What do you think? Yeah. But God couldn't accept Cain's sacrifice because it was cursed. And you know, when you offer to God anything that's of this body, He can't accept it.
Amen.
So if you go out and do good, that doesn't impress God. He is good.
Amen.
How can doing good be better than God, who is good? Now, should we do good things? Amen. Absolutely. But to glorify God and to show our love, not to show Him how good we are. Amen. And this body, which is under the curse, is going to die. And Jesus said He's going to build me a new one. And it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be better looking than this one, I hope.
Amen.
It's going to be a perfect, uncorruptible body. But here's the point I'm getting at. Wherever you are here, wherever you are here, when you die, whatever your state of mind is, whatever your soul is when you die, that's what you're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
And if you can't learn to glorify Him here, what makes you think you're going to learn to glorify Him there? And if you can't learn to serve Him here, what makes you think you're going to serve Him there? And if you can't learn to obey Him here, what makes you think you're going to obey Him there? So God allows His children to fall, and He doesn't punish. I said this the other night. God does not punish His people.
None.
He's got a punishment set up. It's forever. But if you're His, He will chastise you.
Amen.
Now, what's that got to do with what I started out with independent? It has to do with this. I have false teeth. You know why I have false teeth? Sin and disobedience. How do I know that? Bible says over there, and when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, God said He wouldn't let their teeth crack or rot or break or anything if they obeyed Him. Well, it's obvious I didn't obey Him somewhere. Amen? So, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and hide it. I had cataract surgery. Why? Sin. Sin. But I'll show you how good God is. The doctor messed up and I lost the retina in my eye and I was permanently blind. They said I'd never see again. God gave me a new one.
Amen.
Amen. He left my eye where I needed to use glasses so that I'd remember, because He's a good God.
Amen.
You know? And it's like when you have a child and you say, now you don't go out there and play with those bushes out there because that's poison ivy and you're going to get them no-no all over you. And your child runs out there and does it anyway and gets covered with poison ivy and cries and whines and cries and moans and groans. Whose fault is it?
Theirs.
It's their fault. And like a good parent, you're going to try to bind them up and make them feel as good as possible, but you didn't put the poison ivy on them. They did. Amen? And a lot of times we get out here and we do things that get ourselves in trouble. But God loves us, and if we go to Him, He'll take it away.
Amen.
Amen? Now, Paul, have you said anything tonight? Good. Come on up here and say something. We're going to have something. You were here last night, weren't you? You have arthritis, don't you? Are you the one with arthritis? Well, I'm not going to do like some preachers. You never met me before, have you? I've never talked to you, have I? Somebody told me. And it, you know, one of the guys, you told one of the people here and they told me. See, I'm going to tell you the truth. All right. You told somebody here and they came and told me. It was Steve, I guess. But I was watching you last night, if you remember. Huh? No. No, I know that God wants to heal you and deliver you and to do some good things with you. And I prayed last night, and I had the others praying today you'd be back here today for healing. You're going to walk out of here healed tonight.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we have. I was hoping the woman that had the lung spot on her lung would be here. And maybe she'll be back. God's a God of healing.
Amen.
And deliverance. Amen. Jesus came to set us free.
Amen.
Not to bind us up. Now, I like, you know, you enjoy just standing there while I ignore you? It's all right, isn't it? I love you. I met this guy down in Florida, kind of by accident. I'm not in Florida, South Carolina. Kind of by accident, I was doing radio programs, and I was traveling, and I went to meet somebody, and he showed up. And I'll shut up, or I'll give his testimony.
I spent the first 21 years of my life seeking my own pleasure, and not the least bit concerned. God was not my primary concern. There were flashes of concern and guilt, mostly guilt. I met the Lord, and He changed my heart.
Amen.
And He gave me a crowd of people my age to be around, and it was a good time. And for 4 years or so, my primary concern was serving Him and just fellowship, and it was a great time. The church split up, and we didn't. We didn't fare so well. Everybody left for another place, and I spent 15 years checking churches out and looking around, and I could not verbalize what I was looking for, but I knew when it wasn't there. And my wife and the people around me didn't understand what my problem was. They just thought I was a sinful sinner, you know, reprobate. And I might have took some of that, but and I probably deserved some of that, but looking back on it, I believe the Lord was protecting me, because when I met Richard in that camper, was it 4 years ago now?
No, five.
5 years ago. I had what turned out to be a life-changing experience. I had been squatting down and fidgeting and very uncomfortable. I had had arthroscopic surgery on my knee, and the doctor had told me that it was cartilage had torn, and it was receding due to arthritis, and that he had done what he could, and he believed the pain would be gone. The intense stabbing, burning pain that was before the surgery would be gone. But I'd be back, and I'd be back to have a knee replacement. And it stayed difficult for the knee to move around. It cracked. It was an annoyance, basically, this time. It was not working right. The doctor said it never would. Richard said, well, we're not going to have that. He reached down and boom, just hit it. He said, healed in Jesus' name. And that was the last time the knee bothered me. But as slow-witted as I am, I missed the blessing. And the blessing was, I've been walking around so used to pain in all of my joints, in my fingers, and my elbows, and my knees, and my wrist, that it had become part of my life. I woke up one day and I said, you know, the condition that caused the problem in my knee was the arthritis, and it was gone.
Yeah.
He didn't just heal my knee. He healed the arthritis in every joint. And it hasn't bothered me since. Now, I've done some stupid things, and my knee had to be operated on again. My anger flared up, and God deals with us when we do stupid things. But the arthritis has left my body, and when God heals, He heals uncorrupted.
Amen.
And the one thing that impressed me that night when he hit my knee was that, you know, I was not all that impressed then. But when I realized the arthritis was gone, I went, wow. But my slow-witted brain didn't connect the two for months. So I had been shown that God doesn't intend for you to be sick here as He doesn't intend for you to be sick in heaven.
Amen.
His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He doesn't want you to be sick here. I encourage you, don't carry that around with you. Don't let Satan corrupt you and damage your faith. Come get the healing if you need healing.
Amen.
Give the Lord a share.
And I thank you for the opportunity to share.
Amen. Give God praise.
Amen.
Give God praise. Give Him glory. And see, what I want you to get while you're here, while I'm here this week, is I want you to understand this kind of stuff is available for every single one of you.
Amen.
This young man right here, I've never met you before, have I?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I did?
Of course, Chris Wagner.
Who are you?
Chris Wagner.
What happened to you, Chris? You gained weight and you look different. Praise God. Good to see you, son. Hallelujah. How many years has it been?
7 years.
7 years. And who's this young lady? Hi, Heather. How you doing? Praise God. Well, I guess I was right. This young man right here. Found out I do know him. God can use you. I told you that 7 years ago, too, didn't I? And He can still use you.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good. He's so gracious. And you know, He knows you ain't wrapped too tight. He knows I'm not wrapped too tight. But He is wrapped just right. He is wrapped just right. And we get wrapped up in Jesus, there's nothing we can't do.
Amen.
Right? Now, Ricky, I asked you to hold a scripture for me. I think it's in the third verse.
I've got all of them here.
Got them all? Hallelujah. All right. Where does it say, if any of you lack wisdom?
Fifth
verse. Okay. I knew it was in there somewhere.
You left off on three.
Okay. If any of you lack wisdom,
let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally.
Now stop and look at that. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to some people and not to others. Did I miss that?
You messed that up.
He gives to what?
All men.
All men. You notice it didn't say saved men. Did you notice that? How many times people can read that and miss it? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally.
Amen.
How many times does our pride as Christians exclude everybody else? And that's talking that God will give it to everybody.
Amen.
Gives it to everybody. When he says all men, he also means women.
Amen.
All right? That means you women, too. Now, you can also replace that word with love and power and grace. You can replace that word with anything that is of God. But Paul, James is specifically talking about wisdom here. Now, let's look at the next part, because you'll see that it's a two-way street. God gives it liberally. That means more than you can handle.
Amen.
To all men, and upbraideth not. It means to upbraid not means it doesn't laugh at you and give you a hard time. You stupid idiot. What makes you think you should get it? He doesn't do that. Now look at the next part.
And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means without doubting. Go on.
For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
That's a lot of Christians today. Okay, go on.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
All right, now notice it says, let not that man think he shall receive anything. It didn't change God's giving. See? It doesn't affect God's giving. But it does affect the receiving. You see? Now, if I said, I got a $100 bill here, who wants it?
Can I jump out?
How many would raise your hand? All right. Now, out of those raising your hand, how many would have come up and snatched it? Or would you just say, yeah, I'd like to have it and sit there? You see, most Christians are the second part. Most Christians say, yeah, God, I want it. See, I used to tell a story about my son. I love to tell stories about my son, and sometimes I get to embarrass him royally. It's fun. It's fun to be a parent. To me, it's a blessing to be a parent. Kids are great. Kids are great. When they misbehave, you can bounce them off the wall, you know. Straighten them out. Love them. Tease them. My daughter comes to me and says, Daddy, I want to be able to do that. I said, when you're a father, you can. All right, Ricky was a kid. Now, I want to show you something. Just to show you how kids are. I come home from work. I got a candy bar sticking out of my pocket. Ricky comes up, sees the candy bar, falls on his knees. Oh, Father, I've been such a bad boy today. And I talked back to Mother, but Father, if it be thy will, could I just but touch the wrapper of the candy bar? How many believe that story? You better believe he didn't do that. If he did, I'd drop kick him back and go talk to his mother and say, what'd you do with this boy? You broke him. No, he come up there and say, Dad, you got a candy bar. Is that mine? Can I have it? Thanks, Dad. And he's gone. I want you to understand God is your father. And he gives gifts, and he wants you to take them. But it means take them.
Amen.
Take them. He's not going to force them on you. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, here's a young lady. She's been into a lot of stuff, and I ain't going to tell you what all she's been into, but God's a tattletale. But she loves the Lord.
Amen.
And we were out after the meeting. Was that last night? We were out after the meeting. Now, see, Monday night, or was that Sunday night? Sunday night after the meeting, church. We had church. And Monday night we had church. See, we come in here and we have church here, and then we go back there and we have church till 3 o'clock in the morning. So, last night, well, the night before, she told her mother, you ought to come to the meeting that night. So she came over, and why don't you tell them what happened?
Not a good speaker, but I've been through a lot. Physically, I've been through a lot of accidents, and only the Lord brought me through. Amen. Because the doctors didn't know what to do, and the suffering was great, and I've had it until yesterday.
Amen.
When I was blessed, my leg, my hip, and my heel were in pretty bad shape, you know. And when you take it easy on one, you cause a problem in another place. Well, yeah, things got worse. And the power that Jesus gave Richard worked for me. And I can say today, I'm not limping.
Amen.
At all.
Amen. Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise be.
Give the Lord a cheer. I say, I had Paul stand up here and tell you about him, and I've had her stand up, not to glorify me. You understand? But to glorify Jesus and to let you know. I mean, come here, Gail. I don't know who knows Gail, but if you know Gail, if God had healed her, he'd heal anybody.
Amen.
Where's your husband? Oh, hallelujah. You might want to whoop up on me. Tell them what happened to you.
Well, I have had migraine headaches for a number of years. I know in my 20s sometimes I would be so bad I'd have to lay out on the floor and tell the kids to eat peanut butter, or I didn't care what they ate. But they couldn't bother me to get it. And it's gone on for years and years and years. And I've tried all different kinds of things for it. And who wants to live in a drugged up stupor all the time? Not me. Most recently, I've just had one. In fact, the first 3 days that this was here, this the day of the setup and all that, I'd been coming down visiting with everyone, and I've smiled a lot and all that, but I was totally stoned on pills to keep me upright because the pain was so excruciating from the migraine that I had. And finally, one night, the pills wore off, and Richard didn't wear off. He kept on talking and talking and talking. And I thought I was going to die. So finally, I was gripping my head and trying to stay there and whispered to my husband, you got to take me home. You know, I just can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to be sick. So I don't know how he knew, but he turns around and he goes, are you all right? Oh, so I was pegged right there. I knew we'd have a discussion about this. I didn't want to say anything. But I did. And he said, well, you don't have to be sick. And so he took it away. And with the power of Jesus Christ, he took it away. And I cannot believe that I suffered with this all this time. Never mind the 3 days. All these years. He's older than I am. He could have fixed this a long time ago. So praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Now, I'm not going to get into healing school and deliverance school tonight, but there's a couple little things I want to share with you. Not all healing is of the devil. Some of it's natural. I mean, not healing. Sickness is of the devil. Some of it's just plain natural. Not all sickness is of sin. It's just plain natural. Some sickness is of the devil, and some sickness is of sin. And some sicknesses are demonic. And I've known a lot of people that have been prayed for healing and weren't healed. And the reason was they were prayed for wrong. Now, to give you an example, for years, people would come to me with cancer and ask me to pray for them, and I'd pray for them, and they'd die. That doesn't build much faith. And it got to the point I was willing to pay somebody with cancer not to come. I just didn't want them in my services. And my stepfather brought this man that he worked with to a service one night who had cancer of the larynx, and he was to go into surgery the next morning. And I stalled and stalled and stalled and hoping this guy would just give up and go home and I wouldn't have to pray for him. Now, that's not a very nice thing to say, being a preacher. But it's the truth. And finally, I realized this guy was going to stay all night if necessary. He wanted healing. So he got up, and I got up, and I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. And I got ready to pray, and the Lord says, stop. And this happened in a fraction of a moment. It just was so quick that it shook me. Everybody else probably thought no time had passed at all. But what God showed me was the man, he said, this man is not sick, does not need healing. And I said, what are you talking about, Lord? Everybody's sick. It's this guy. He's got cancer. He's dying. You know, I mean, that's sick. He said, no, it's a demonic spirit. And then he showed me the relationship between a cold and pneumonia. Symptoms are the same, you see. But the cause is different. And you treat the treatment is different. And if you treat pneumonia like you do with a cold, then the patient dies. And what he showed me is that I had been treating pneumonia as if it were a cold. So he just said, rebuke the spirit of cancer, and he'll be healed. And I did, and he was, and I praise God.
Amen.
He was totally delivered and healed. So you see, many times, and now when you go back and read your Bible, pay attention to those healings. And you read when it says he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and he was healed. You see? Now, cancer is caused by a demonic spirit. Every form of it, no matter what kind it is. Now, if you're one of these Christians that think because you're a Christian you can't have a demon, then you're going to die. No, anybody can do it for you. Deliverance was given to the church, not to the world.
Amen.
You see? Just because you have a demon in this flesh doesn't mean you're a Christian. Doesn't mean you can't be a Christian. Amen? All right. Arthritis is caused by a demonic spirit. It's an attack. The purpose of the attack is to keep you from serving God or worshiping God to the best of your ability. It's to keep your mind off the Lord. And when that arthritis is acting up, it's hard to keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your mind straight on Him, isn't it? The pain medicine? Yeah. Come up here, take my hand. Now, you have arthritis in the hands. All through you. All right. Watch this. Now, this is just the Lord. You're going to take it away. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that arthritis. Command it to leave right now. Every bit of it. I want you to move around a little bit. Move your hands or your legs. We'll do whatever it takes. See if it hurts. See, I believe in finding out. People have cancer. I pray for them. I say, now you go to the doctor and have him show you it's all right. How do you feel? Amen. Now, all through the neck, the whole body, just deliver her, Lord, in Jesus' name, complete. You come back tomorrow night and tell us about it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to pray for them too.
Amen.
Now, thank Jesus for that healing, and we will be with you tomorrow on that. Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah. Glory unto you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. There's no greater name than Jesus.
Amen.
No greater name, no greater name, no greater name. And the name of Jesus drives off devils and drives off sickness and drives off all the powers of the enemy. I'll tell you, when you have Jesus, You have more power in your little finger than all the governments of war.
Amen.
You have more power right there.
I came last night believing that God's going to deliver me. Even if I have to be in pain, I want to be without the medicine because it does fog your brain. And it does, you don't have the real connection that I once had. And I woke up this morning and I just kept believing. And I only took half the medicine today that I usually take. And I said, I know by tomorrow I'm not going to take any.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise,
praise be to God. You know, I wish I could get a drill and go around and drill a hole in the top of everybody's head and just pour some of the knowledge of God and His Word into you.
Amen.
But God's already done a better thing. He's drilled two holes. And even an escape hole. Huh?
Amen.
So He's given you two holes to receive His Word. And if you use the escape hole, the Word will work. Now let me show you something. This, I like to use a little humor and all, but this is serious stuff. I better take my coat off for this.
Don't want to put it there, do I?
Yeah, we sing a song about the fire, yeah.